Thank you, Pastor Brew, Brother Hefner. I really appreciated that song tonight. I think it's going to go tie in really well with what what the Lord has laid on my heart to preach. Before we get into all that, I'd like to thank Pastor Ogle for the opportunity to preach this evening. What he said was so true. We spend 3-4 years in college learning book work, but actually doing it is a totally different thing. But I will say I feel much more relaxed tonight because, well, for two reasons. Dr. Surrett is not back there with a critique sheet about to give me a grade. And since I'll be leaving anyway in a couple of weeks, if I make any mistakes, Pastor Ogle can't kick me out. But I really value this opportunity. I value the opportunity to serve with you in this church over the last couple of years. I've learned a lot from many of you. I've learned a lot working up in the master clubs, working with the Kapoors, the Stallcups, and now the Skinners. I've learned a lot from each of their testimonies. I did a lot of skits with Brother Clark, and he's really a funny guy when you get to know him. He's taught me a lot. I've benefited many times from these Southern chemists who know how to take ingredients like, you know, flour and eggs and milk and pumpkins and all turkey and stuffing and all that and mix it all together. And I had a great time on Thanksgiving. That was delicious. I loved it. But I love the food that I've been able to benefit from. It truly has been a blessing to serve here at this church. I also appreciate Pastor Caleb since there's so much candy this year, he decided to give the college students a 10% cut. I really thank you, Pastor Caleb. Not really, but have we done our best for Jesus? I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled God's Goals for the Local Church. And as I was thinking about the words to that song, it really does tie in well because God has a goal for this church. He has a purpose that He wants done in this church. And are we doing our best to fulfill God's purpose, to fulfill God's goals for this church? Turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading this passage in just a moment. We all have goals in life. As a college student, we have goals of doing well in our finals. We have goals of paying off our school bill. We have goals of finishing college. You may have goals such as paying off a mortgage or maybe traveling to a particular place. You might have a goal of witnessing to a particular person. But we all have goals in life. Someone asked me a little while ago, Adam, if you were the pastor of a church, what goals would you have for your church? And I told him three things. I would want my church or the church people to be leading holy lives. I'd want the church people to be demonstrating the love of Christ in their lives. And I would want the whole church to be unified as one. Now maybe, Pastor Ogle, maybe that's a dream come true, but that's a goal I would love to see accomplished in the future one day. But Jesus Christ also has goals for His church. And we're going to look at God's goals for the local church. And you know what? You must do your part to fulfill God's goals in the local church. Because God wants it done, but it's accomplished through you. It's accomplished through me. It's accomplished through each and every one of us doing our part. This church is a body. So each of us must be doing our part. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with, let's read verse 8. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Interesting, it says he gave gifts unto men. Now let's jump down to verse 11. "And he gave some." I think it's fair to say that in verse 8 he says he gives gifts. And then there's two verses in parentheses. And in verse 11 he says he gave. God is about to list the gifts that he's given to the local church. In verse 11 he says he gave some apostles. and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, I ask your blessing on this service tonight. I pray that you would bless your word as you have promised. And I pray that you would give me the words to speak. May it not be my words that is heard tonight, but may it be your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to do for the next... Well, Kristen wanted me to go pretty long because she wanted some extra time to... For the kids next door, but I don't think we'll be able to do that. But what I'm going to do for the next several minutes is just go through this passage, teach through it, and at the end, I'm going to give seven principles or seven goals that God has for his local church. So let's just take this passage verse by verse. In verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In other words, God has given his church leaders. He's given church leaders over his church to, you know, to help start the church and to drive the church forward. I have a definition here for each of these four categories that are listed. You know, a while ago I heard an argument in the dorm. And dorm theology is always very interesting, to say the least. But they were talking about the Apostle Paul. They were saying, well, was he an evangelist or was he a pastor? Which was he? What was he doing? I spoke up and I said, neither one. He was an apostle. Duh. The Bible calls him that. He says it over and over again. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor. He was an apostle. An apostle, these are men who are called and sent out by Jesus Christ for the ministry of building and establishing his church throughout the world. They were gifted with special abilities that we don't have today, by the way, to help establish the church in a time when the Bible was not yet complete. These we could read about the qualifications of an apostle in Acts chapter 1, but these were specially called men and sent out by Jesus Christ himself. Only 14 men ever could call themselves an apostle. Next were prophets. These are men who were gifted with the ability to discern right and wrong, and like Old Testament prophets, even foretell the future. Their purpose was to aid the apostles in establishing the church in a time, once again, when the Bible was still uncompleted. I did a study several months ago trying to find out, was there really New Testament prophets? And we could go into that, but yes, there were. Silas, the one who traveled with Paul, is called a prophet in Acts. I have it here somewhere. In Acts chapter 15. When Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, there was a prophet who stopped him and warned him that if he went to Jerusalem, he would be arrested. There were New Testament prophets. But you know what? We don't have apostles and prophets anymore because we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the completed word of God right here, right in front of us. But we do have two categories of church leaders for our generation, for us today. These are evangelists and also pastors and teachers. Evangelists are men who are gifted with a strong desire and a passion to proclaim the gospel. Now, I want to see people saved. But when I talk to an evangelist, when they come to the college or when they come here and preach, and when I talk to them and try to learn their passion, they have a passion for lost people that I just don't have. And I've asked myself, am I wrong or are they gifted of God? You know, yes. I need to desire to see people saved. But they have a desire, something that drives them to give the gospel to lost people, to see them added into the church. That is an evangelist. The very word, it means a proclaimer of good news, a proclaimer of the gospel. And then pastors and teachers. I won't go into it now, but I do believe that this is one category, not two separate categories of people. Pastor and teacher refers to one and the same office. But these are men who are gifted with a strong desire to serve Christ as a shepherd, to care for the people in the church. And if I would fall into any of these categories, it would definitely be the pastor. I want to plant a church, I want to see people saved, but I want to be a pastor one day. And I'm looking forward to the day when that dream is fulfilled. But that is the fourth category, the pastor and the teacher. These are the leaders of the local church. God has placed these two categories of men to lead His church on earth. But may I remind you that a good leader is worthless unless he has good followers. Every nation needs a president or a king of some kind. An army needs a general. A car needs a driver. Where would a car be without a driver? It doesn't go anywhere. Where would an army be without a general? Chaos. Where would our church leaders be, our pastors be, without good followers helping them out along the way? Leaders need faithful followers. Now, that doesn't mean we should follow Pastor Ogle blindly, unless you're Dale, of course. But as Pastor Ogle and as our church leaders, as they are following Jesus Christ, we should be following them. Picture this. Each one of us make up the body of Christ. We make up individual parts, just like several different parts make up a car. And the church leaders are the ones sitting at the driver's seat driving that car forward. And what is telling them where to go? They have the GPS of God's Word directing the way. A good leader needs followers that's going to follow him faithfully and not break down along the way. I'm sure, Pastor Ogle, you've had your fair share of flat tires in the church. Those aren't fun. Maybe one day I'll find out about it. A good leader needs good followers. But now let's look at the next verse, verse 12, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. There's three things in verse 12 that I see. Perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and edifying of the body of Christ. I looked up the word perfecting. Perfecting of the saints. Does God really expect us to be perfect? Well, we will be one day. But the word perfecting, it basically means to build up, to mature, to equip for ministry. God has given church leaders a specific responsibility. And that specific responsibility is to build up us. To build up us as members of this church. To build us up, to lead us to maturity. Babies are cute. They're really neat. They're really nice. But it's not God's will that all of us remain as baby Christians forever. Baby Christians can't get a lot of work done. Babies, they sit around, they cry, they eat, they sleep. You know, they're nice, but it's not God's will that we remain as baby Christians. It is God's will that each and every one of us be an adult, a mature adult Christian. How does Pastor Ogle and the other church leaders do this? They do it by teaching. They do it by preaching. They do it by visiting in our homes, by counseling with us when we're going through spiritual struggles, by being there for us, by leading by example. It's all part of the ministry of perfecting and building the saints, building the church. In 1 Peter 2, God says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. All of us, we all start out as a baby Christian. But I, for one, do not like baby food. Thanksgiving. I feel so sorry for babies this week. I mean, because what were they stuck with? Applesauce, maybe a little bit of mashed potatoes, maybe a little bit of pumpkin pie. I loved the turkey that I had this week. It was good. I loved the mashed potatoes. I loved the 7 pieces of dessert that I had this week. They were good. I love being an adult and being able to handle adult food. The meat of God's word is delicious. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. A baby's taste is very limited. It can only taste certain things. But the older we get, the more we can partake of. And it's wonderful. But that's the ministry of Pastor Ogle, perfecting the saints. Why? Well, it's found in the very next phrase. Perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. Ministry is hard work. There's a lot involved in leading a church. And while this Emmanuel isn't a very large church, when you compare it to others, there's still a lot of work to be done here. Pastor Ogle and Pastor Surratt and Pastor Brew and Pastor Caleb, they can't do it themselves. Where would Pastor Ogle be without the help of the deacons? Without deacons being there to help them make decisions, to help them do things around the church. And I'm not sure what all they do, but where would Pastor Ogle be without their help? Pastor Caleb, he leads the youth group. If he had to, he could probably lead that youth group on his own. But you know what? It's a lot more effective with the youth staff that he has helping him. Which, who all do you have up there? You got the Young Bloods, the Valenzuelos, maybe a couple of college students. It's much more effective when he has other people helping him with the work of the ministry. And we could go on. Imagine Pastor Rue without a choir. If we didn't have a choir, you know, the quality of the music of this church would decrease. I praise the Lord for our choir. I've learned a lot about singing. I've learned a lot from Pastor Brew. But you know what? There's a lot involved with the work of a church. And it requires the work of each and every one of us. Otherwise, what happens is when there's only a few people that are doing the work of the ministry, those people get bogged down. And important aspects of ministry are neglected. It's not God's will for our pastors to be the ones doing everything in the church. It's the God's will for the whole church to be doing the work of the church. In Hebrews 5, in verse 12, it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." When we work, it's not child's play. Fighting the devil is not child's play. There's work to be done, and it is very important that we be mature adult Christians as we do the work of the ministry. Are you prepared to do the work of the ministry? This requires spiritual preparation, faith in God's word, obedience to God's word, dependence upon the power of the Spirit, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come out in your life. These are all things that come along with doing the work of the ministry. What are you doing today to, say, evangelize Kings Mountain or build relationships with lost people, disciple younger believers, edify other church members, support Pastor Ogle with his needs? What are you doing today to do your part in the ministry that God has for this church? We must be effective members of this church. We must do our part to fulfill God's goals for the church. It's not just enough to hear the preaching of God's word. We've got to do it. James said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I heard someone say one time that people don't need 4 sermons a week. They just need to obey one of them. And that'll make a difference in their lives. The last phrase in that verse is the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's think of this in the context of the verse. Church leaders are perfecting the saints. The result of the perfecting of the saints is the saints are doing the work of the ministry. And the result of the saints doing the work of the ministry is that the entire church is being edified. The entire church is being edified. It's being built up. It's being equipped. You know, we shouldn't have to only go to our pastors for spiritual encouragement or for godly wisdom or for counsel and advice or for help in a specific ministry. You know, I praise the Lord for those of you, not just the pastors, but those of you even beyond, who if I have a problem, I can go to you and say, hey, look, a professor gave me this assignment, and I don't know, I'm just not sure. You know, what is the truth about what the Bible says on this issue? I praise the Lord for those of you that I can go to and ask that help. You know what? That's the way it should be. It shouldn't just be a select few that are wise in the things of God's Word. It should be each and every one of us. In Proverbs, it says that iron sharpeneth iron, and so doth a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Each one of us should be able to sharpen each other, and thereby the work of God can move forward and effectively. I might be wrong about this, but I was told that for every fighter jet that the Air Force has in the air, that there is between 150 to 200 ground men. And that would include officers, radio controllers, cooks and truck drivers, mechanics. That's a lot of ground men. But it's not just, when we think of the Air Force, we always think of the planes and the pilots. But it's not just the pilots. They have a lot of support backing them up. They can be out there flying around, but if they have problems in the air and they need to make an emergency landing and they need quick repairs, they're going to be pretty helpless if they don't have mechanics who know what they're doing to fix their plane right away. They're going to be pretty helpless if they're in the midst of a fight and they need to be reloaded with bombs and with ammunition. There needs to be men and women ready to respond immediately to every situation. That's the way a church should work. When we think of Emmanuel Baptist Church, we may think of Pastor Ogle as the church leader. But it's not just Pastor Ogle. It's all of us, one body, one Christ, working together to fulfill God's goals in the local church. It is hard for a few people to sharpen everybody else. If a few people are sharpening the majority, then what happens? Those few people end up dull themselves. But if each of us are sharpening each other, then we can be very effective in the local church. That's why it's not just the pastoral staff that's supposed to be edifying this church. It's all of us working together and edifying one another. I believe this passage that we read, verses 11 through 16, I believe that there's 2 messages in this passage. And I'm not going to preach both of them tonight. But I believe that verses 11 and 12 preach what we're supposed to do. And verses 13 through 16 tell us how we're supposed to do it. But if we were to look at each of these verses, I believe that there are 7 goals that we can derive from this passage. And in conclusion, I'd like to give you these seven goals that God has for His church. Well, we've already looked at some of these verses. According to verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, goal number one is perfection. Or you could say maturity. But goal number one for God's local church is that each member be perfected, be built up, be matured to be an effective member of the local church. Goal number one is that you be an effective member of this local church. Perfection. Number two, if you're looking for alliteration, I have action. The work of the ministry. Although me personally, if I don't always like alliteration, I prefer the word do. Now maybe it's because of my dad. My dad is a really stern, get the job done type of guy. Similar to a drill sergeant, but not that bad. Adam, do this. Adam, do that. Adam, I want shingles and I want it yesterday. My dad's a roofer and he works very fast and it's hard to keep up with him. Do the work of the ministry. It requires action. God doesn't want us to be sitting down in the seats. Well, during the preaching, yes. But God doesn't want us to be sitting down being ineffective. God wants us active. He wants us to be busy doing the work of the ministry. Number three, the edification of the body of Christ. Edification. Number three, God wants this entire church to be edified, to be built up, to be equipped. He wants each and every one of us to have a ministry of edification to each other. The other four goals, we're going to read the next four verses and pull one principle from each of them. In verse 13, it says, till we all come to the unity of faith. People talk about unity in this day and age, but they don't know how to get it, except to just forget about all their standards and convictions and beliefs. This verse tells us how to get true unity. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we get unity? We follow Jesus Christ and unify around what He taught us, God's Word. The fourth principle, the fourth goal for God's local church is unification. Unification around Jesus Christ and around what God has taught us. The fourth principle, and I'm going to break the alliteration towards the end because I just couldn't find anything to go along with it. But verse 14 is adulthood. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. I said this earlier. I love children. You know, I think babies are really cute, but you know, it is not God's will that we remain as children. It is God's will that children grow up and become adults, that we henceforth be no more children tossed about to and fro and carried about of every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Satan has a lot of tricks up his sleeve to trip us up. The world has all kinds of distractions that tries to get our attention. And children can very easily be caught up with those things. But an adult Christian, sees the danger. He sees the danger and avoids it. It is God's goal for this church that every single one of us not be children that can be tossed about to and fro of every wind of doctrine, but it is God's will that we be adults in Christ. Number five. But speaking the truth in love. I couldn't find one word for this, but speak truth with love. That is so necessary in this day and age. There are thousands of people across this country who can't stand the name Baptist because somebody shoved the truth of God's word down their throat without any love whatsoever, And that person became offended, and now they don't want anything to do with God. Now, perhaps the original preacher or Christian, perhaps he was right with what he said. The world needs to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation, and the world needs to turn from their sin. But we need to tell them that with the love of God. Napoleon Bonaparte one time said, Alexander, Caesar, and Charlemagne and myself founded empires. But upon what foundation did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded an empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. God is love. And when we give people the truth of God's word, we need to be sure that we give it to them with a very loving spirit. Number 7, found in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If I could wrap that whole verse up in one word, I would say teamwork. God's goal for this church is teamwork. If I'm watching a basketball team or basketball game that's going on, and one team has, let's just say LeBron James, he's got to be one of the best basketball players in the country. But if his team is not unified, if he's not playing teamwork, he's going to lose that game. I don't care how good of a basketball player he is. The team that works together will win. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, must work together. So we've seen God's goals for the local church. Perfection, action, edification, unification, adulthood, speaking the truth with love, and teamwork. Are you doing your part to fulfill God's goals for the local church? Or are you being a hindrance to God's goals for the local church? It's not enough just to hear the word of God. You must do it. Will you do your part to fulfill God's goals for this local church? Pastor Ogle, would you come?